Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we are here in chapter number 2, and we start looking at verse number 20, which says, "For ye are our glory and joy." Now, last time we started looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about how the members of the body of Christ function as being his glory. And we looked at, you know, the example of Timothy last time and how the Apostle Paul called Timothy his son in the faith. And you see how Paul, as he writes his epistles, uses these terms related to family or speaking about the individuals that he is ministering with in a manner to where you can see the glory that is associated with his relationship with them. For example, we can see if we go over to the book of Titus, and we're going to see what Paul says about Titus here in chapter number 1, and we're going to read verse number 4, which says, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." So just like he was describing Paul, or describing Timothy in the manner that called him his son, you see that Paul calls Titus in the same manner, "mine own son after the common faith." And this is an individual that, you know, when you look at Titus in his life, you see how initially in Paul's ministry that there was this real good relationship with them, to the point of when Paul doesn't have Titus around, that there's a depression that comes about from not having Titus there. And by the end of Paul's ministry, you see that Paul can talk about how Titus had abandoned him, having loved this present world. So even though he was his son in the faith, you see how Timothy remains faithful in that. You see that Titus doesn't remain faithful. And that's really that testament for us to really have that understanding of that this can happen to any individual who's a member of the body of Christ. Because we have that guarantee of our salvation once we put our trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and putting our trust in that and that alone is what gives us our salvation, we know that we have the guarantee of that. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, but it doesn't guarantee that we're not going to fail in our responsibility to keep functioning as an ambassador for Christ, to be carrying out that ministry of reconciliation that we're supposed to be carrying out, that you see Titus doing initially and yet failing at that by the end of his ministry. You see how Paul can describe, and let's go over to the book of Philemon here. We're going to see Paul describing an individual that he encountered while he was in prison here. And we're going to read verse number 10 of the book of Philemon, which says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Now, Onesimus is not his physical son that's being spoken of. It's the same description that he used of Timothy, of Titus, of an individual who he had preached the gospel to, who had come to an understanding of what the message is supposed to be, and he could have that relationship with him. A relationship that you see as Paul uses those terms to describe individuals in the body, where he talks about, calls us brethren, you know, multiple times in his epistles. You see, if we go back, you know, earlier into chapter number 2, where we've been in 1 Thessalonians, and we read verse number 7 to see the terminology he uses here, when it says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So he uses this relationship describing a nurse with her children to describe the relationship that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had with this assembly in Thessalonica. And how, because of this relationship that they had, it had an impact on how he was dealing with these individuals, how he was writing to them, how he was ministering unto them. And you see how Paul, when he can look at the members of the body of Christ and the ones that he was ministering with, you see how it almost seems like he's a proud parent seeing these individuals functioning properly. You know, and when a parent sees their child doing the right things, there's a sense of pride, because it's a understanding that they truly know everything that has been imparted unto them on how it is that they're supposed to be functioning. And that's what Paul, looking at these individuals, can see. That's how Paul's looking at this assembly in Thessalonica when he's holding them up in the manner that he has been, that there's a glory that comes about it because he knows that they have truly been applying the doctrine that Paul has been teaching to them. And when Paul really looks at these things, he sees how it's going to have an impact on the rewards that a person has. He sees the responsibility that we are supposed to have related to imparting this information. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to see as Paul's writing his last epistle here that he's going to be communicating information about how it is that they're supposed to be living their lives and telling Timothy what it is that he's supposed to be doing here. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I want to read here verse number 2, which says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And the idea being that the word of God is to be communicated to other individuals, so that way they can go out and they can teach other individuals, and that this process can keep going and going and going to make sure that the dispensation of the grace of God continues in the manner that God has intended for it. Because the reality of how this dispensation is going to end is the fact that the body of Christ is going to be looking like the rest of the world system, is going to be functioning in a manner where we will not be giving this message out as the body of Christ to this lost world. It's going to be a failure on the part of the body. And our responsibility becomes that we have to make sure that this does not happen during our lifetime, that we continue to be preaching this message to individuals, so that way it can have a true impact. That way individuals can have the edification that's supposed to occur, that individuals can have the change in life that's supposed to occur from the Word of God having an impact on who they are. That this is what leads to, as Paul describes and calls it, a glory that's coming about from individuals having this happen. And this occurs on an individual basis when people apply how the Apostle Paul gives us the information related to how to study the Word of God. We're here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's go down here to verse number 15, because we're going to see how Paul is going to very clearly tell us what it is that we are supposed to do. And it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And individuals really just think that their whole responsibility is, well, you know, I show up to a service on Sunday and that takes care of everything, and I don't have to worry about anything else during the week. I don't have to do anything else other than to just show up that one time a week, and God's going to consider that I'm doing the right thing. The Apostle Paul tells us that we have a responsibility to study. And our study is what's going to allow for us to be approved unto God. That God wants us to study His Word. And He wants us to study it in the manner that God intends for us to study it. The Apostle Paul tells us how that works when he says to rightly divide the word of truth. That we come to the understanding of, here's the information that applies directly to us, and here's the information that applies directly to somebody else. There might still be some, you know, doctrine that we can gain. There might still be some insight that we can actually gain from it, but yet it doesn't apply directly to our lives. And the only part of the Word of God that directly applies to our life and gives us the doctrine on how it is that we are supposed to be functioning today starts in the book of Romans and ends with the book of Philemon. It's Paul's epistles to the body of Christ that give us the information that we need in order to be functioning properly. And as we study the Word of God, as we take it in, there's going to be something that Paul describes of what happens to the members of the body of Christ as a direct result of taking in the Word of God. Let's go over into the book of Romans. We'll go to Romans chapter number 12 to see how Paul is going to describe what this is. And here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read here the first two verses to describe what Paul says is going to happen to the members of the body of Christ as the word of God is taken in. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And Paul describes the process that's going on here of where an individual is having a transformation that's coming about, a renewing of the mind as the doctrine is coming in. And that has to occur because there is so much information that is in an individual that comes from this world. And that's what Paul talks about, be not conformed to this world, because that's really what happens to an individual as we go about our daily life, is that there are so many things that get put in to an individual that come from the world. And all of it designed to try to pull an individual farther and farther away from what the Word of God says to us. Now, some of it will have the appearance of having nothing to do with the Word of God. There will be other parts of it that will have the appearance of, well, it looks like it's from the Word of God because an individual's trying to pull doctrine that's coming out related to the nation of Israel and saying that this is what is supposed to apply. And Paul is saying we have to be functioning in a manner of where we have this transformation process actually happen as a result of our intake of the Word of God. And you see how Paul can describe exactly what happens in the life of an individual as the Word of God is coming in. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we'll see how Paul describes this process here related to the Word of God coming in. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here in verse number 6, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. And here we are starting at verse number 6, says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now as we look at this passage, and this very lengthy passage that the Apostle Paul uses to describe how it is that the wisdom from the Word of God has an impact on who we are as the members of the body of Christ. It talks about how there's a wisdom that comes from God, a wisdom that's separate from the things of what the world has. What's separate from, as it describes, the princes of this world. That's talking about Satan and the angels that followed him in the rebellion against God. Because Satan has an understanding of what the Word of God says. Because the whole battle between God and Satan comes down to the issue of wisdom. And you see how God describes how there was information that had been kept secret before the world. So God, the whole Godhead, before the foundation of the world. So before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," before that even happened, the Godhead had laid out what the mystery program was. had laid out all of the information related to the dispensation of the grace of God, had kept it as a mystery, did not reveal it. So you cannot go back into Genesis through Malachi and find information related to the doctrine that the Apostle Paul is giving to us for today. You can't go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find doctrine for today that is lining up with what is given to the Apostle Paul. Paul talks about how everything that was given to him was given directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. He received all of this information after his salvation, so that way he would have this information to give to us, so that way we would know exactly how it is that we're to live our life. And you see how it talks about the whole way that we are able to understand what it is that we're to do, because it's the Spirit that communicates with the Spirit that's inside of us to give us the information on how we are to live our life. The understanding of what Romans through Philemon actually means. You know, the Word of God is not something that can be understood by an unsaved individual, because they do not have the Spirit that communicates with them to give them the understanding of what the Word of God actually says. That's why you see that whole thing in verse 12 about that the spirit of this world, it's not any of those things. Verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. What the Word of God actually says to the unsaved individual, it's considered to be foolish. You see, Paul laid that out in chapter number 1 when he talks about in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The gospel message is the power of God. What was accomplished on the cross at Calvary truly is a powerful thing. What was accomplished on the cross took care of the issue of sin. It gave us, as Paul describes and calls it, a victory over those things. We have, as a present possession, a complete victory over death. That's what Paul can actually really lay out for us. And when he starts describing the wisdom of this world, how everything that comes from God destroys all the things of this world, that it's truly a glorious thing for us to be functioning in a manner of where we are following exactly what the Word of God actually says. And it's a process that actually occurs of where we have to be taking in the things of the Word of God. We slowly build up that edifice of doctrine. We come to a greater and greater understanding. The Spirit is able to communicate those things, give us the insight into what the Word of God actually says. And as it gives us that insight, we become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we become conformed to His image, then we get to that place of where we're going to be functioning properly according to the doctrine that's been given to us. Now, next time, we're going to pick up with the issue of where the Apostle Paul is talking about these individuals. Not only are they his glory, but he also identifies that they are his joy. We're going to see what it is that Paul actually means by calling the members of the body of Christ his joy. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday message live as it's being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything that you hear in our broadcast, anything that you see in our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.